an absolutely compelling, fantastic, and unbelievable Masters finished up earlier this afternoon. Tiger Woods winning, and it was absolutely remarkable. And my guest now, I'm so happy that Tara Sullivan can join me. I love talking to her anytime, including on The Fan. Tara was at Augusta. She is now a columnist and a great one at that for the Boston Globe. You remember her from New Jersey. She's a Jersey girl, and also her work, of course, at The Record. But Tara now with the Boston Globe. And Tara, how did you start your column today? How did you start to put what you saw into words?
It took a while. I have to tell you, it was hard. I dropped myself, so I walked the entire back nine with Tiger. And by the way, hello, Kim. It's great to talk
yes,
to you.
Yes, it is.
And hello, my New York and New Jersey peeps. It's
yes.
Good to be back with you.
Yes.
I walked the entire back nine, and so I ended up dropping myself and the column in as Tiger was striding up the 15th fairway.
Mm-hmm.
So up, down, whatever. So to explain kind of when you're on that 15th fairway, you go into a shorter hole at 16 that brings you around, and then you come back out and up 17. And so there's a lot of real estate between the two fairways, which is where I was. And believe it or not, this is the beauty of covering the Masters. You never know what happens when you're out there. I ended up running into Jack Nicklaus II, right? So Jack Nicklaus's son.
Okay.
Who was out there in the gallery watching Tiger and who happened to be part of the most, well, maybe before now, the best
yes.
Master Sunday ever, which is when Jack won in 86.
86.
He caddied for him. So I dropped myself in that moment speaking to him.
Wow.
You know, the sense of history, this kind of what we knew was coming and it was really building there, you know, and then three holes later, you know, that scene, which is one I certainly will never forget.
What did Jack the second, what was his take, Tara? Because as he takes that lead at 15 and mm-hmm. stands in at 16, I think that's when you really started to get sort of that feeling, you know, not that you felt he couldn't do it before then, but that he was going to do it. So what was the Nicklaus reaction there?
Well, I would agree, because coming through Amen Corner, right, is really probably where Tiger gained the most important advantage because of the way he played that, his experience
yes.
really came through. But it's at 15 and 16, you're right, I agree, where, and I'm glad that kind of came through in TV, that's where you felt like, in my word, even like the coronation was starting,
mm-hmm.
right? And I was so fascinated. Listen, Jack Nicklaus II was so gracious. He was there with two grown daughters.
Mm.
And just the appreciation that he had for what Tiger was about to do. When I first ran into him, he was kind of saying, well, there's still a lot of great golfers on the board, you know? And then we heard, and this is the truth, we only heard what happened on 15, on 16, because we couldn't get close. I mean, you literally could not get through the sea of humanity to get close.
Okay.
But we heard it, and it was Jack Nicklaus, the son, who said to me, that's a Tiger cheer.
Yes.
He did something good. And so as I watched, literally get back and watch it later on TV, that's where I see for the first time, you know, how close he put that drive and was able to tap in
yep.
essentially for the birdie there.
Right. And the
so
two-shot lead.
So there was a
lead.
Real
yes.
sense of appreciation, like, this is something pretty special that we're seeing right here.
Do you think Jack the second had been in touch with his father during the round?
No, because, you know, at Augusta, you go into the vortex.
Oh, that's right.
You're out on that course with no cell phones, no
that's
nothing.
Right.
So he did say, I guarantee you he's watching it on his TV somewhere. And I guess later on, you know, Jack the dad, the bear himself, called into like a golf show and tweeted out his congratulations that he was like fishing or something. But he was, in fact, you know, glued to his TV to watch. I'm sure because, as we all did, anticipated it happening much later in the day, right?
Right, so, exactly.
Yeah, so he was, in fact, watching and tweeted out congrats right away. And, you know, just so gracious about the whole notion, you know, of whether Tiger is back on this, you know, back kind of on the road maybe to challenging the all-time major record. And as the son said to me, and listen, I'll plug anybody who wants to read it, subscribe to the Boston Globe,
yep.
bostonglobe.com. But, you know, said, hey, if he breaks it, he earned it. And I thought that was really gracious.
It's a great line.
And I thought
yeah.
it was something really nice to hear in that sort of competitive world. It was just, it's almost like my ears are still ringing, you know, and the noise is outside. Like, it's just, I wish I could bring everybody who likes golf out there for an hour or two just to hear and feel and kind of get the vibration of what it's like, especially when it's Tiger doing something. And I've covered, this was my 11th Masters, but it's the first one I've seen Tiger win, and it's just different.
Kim Jones here on The Fan. That's the voice of Tara Sullivan, terrific columnist for the Boston Globe. She is in Augusta. She watched it today up close and personal. Okay, Tara, so let's get to the moment when Tiger, I mean, he needed the five, though. You know, I mean, it, you know, he didn't make it easy on himself at the end, but he knew what he was doing there, but, or at least you thought he did.
Yeah.
What is that moment like to experience? The crowd reaction, his reaction, and then the hugs all around with the family, including a son who can't possibly know what it was like to watch his father win a major until today.
It's beautiful. The symmetry to 1997, when Tiger changed golf for good, not just by winning, but, you know, that hug his dad,
health
at the time, and the hug that they shared in 1997. So to me, that symmetry, first and foremost, was impossible to miss, and it was beautiful to observe. And then, you know, for me as a columnist, and I think you and I, in the way we look at sports, it's not always just what's happening in this immediate moment. It's what makes that moment then resonate on a level that's even bigger than this. And when you see Tiger, who's been through, you know, some hard times, some self-imposed, some not, some injuries, different things, and you see what it means to him now and to share it with his family, who can't relate to that? You mm-hmm. know, who hasn't been through something similar, or, you know, what father-son combination out there hasn't found some communication through sports? What mother and son, or cousins, husbands, aunts, uncles, you know, what people haven't realized for a moment how important it is to have their family there in that moment? And absolutely, Tiger acknowledged it with some laughs, but with a lot of seriousness after. You know, for a long time, all my kids knew about me in golf was that it caused me pain.
Hmm.
You know, they saw
literal
kind of
pain.
Literal pain, yeah, and that's what they associated with it.
Hmm.
He was there, you know, they were his refuge during that time. He spoke about that pretty eloquently afterward. And so, of course, a monumentally special moment for him to have them there and see what it is he does to a golf tournament that is unlike what anybody else does.
Yeah, I want to get back to Tiger, the person. Don't let me let you go without getting back to that. But I do want to ask you about that, Tara, because Dustin Johnson was being interviewed by CBS. CBS was doing sort of that dance it has to do today, which is you have some really big golfers finishing their rounds and you're going to interview them, you know, briefly. But then they've got, you know, Tiger, you know, doing stuff that you can't take your eyes off of at the same time type of thing. And it didn't really bite them. They were able to kind of do everything that they needed to do, as far as I could tell on the broadcast. Anyway, Dustin Johnson kind of mentioned the idea that it did feel different on the course today, and that he said a Tiger roar is different than the cheers I get when I make a putt. I mean, there is that sort of allowance from even his peers and fellow golfers that he makes that big a difference.
It's absolutely true. And what is so compelling right now is for some of these golfers who only really heard about it, right? They never really experienced it. I mean, the Phils, and going back to Ernie Els and Vijay Singh and David Duval, and, you know, the guys who were on the wrong end of it, who couldn't win because of it, because of what Tiger was able to do and the way that he moved the crowd. These guys are kind of experiencing it for real now. And I thought today, I was impressed just at how much respect I heard for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are times that through these lean years that people have rolled their eyes, right, at how much we talk about Tiger. When he wasn't winning, why do you only write about him? I get emails all the time. Well, I hope that people understand that this is why. Xander Schauffele, right, the young American who ended up, I think, finishing second in the group that was at second, and he's one of these young guys. I mean, Kim, to listen to what he had to say afterwards, like, he was so enamored with being part of history and seeing what he had only seen on TV in the past as a real young kid, you know, and there's an appreciation there, and I think a newfound one, if that's possible, because he did it again. I mean, it really is remarkable. And it's funny that you brought up, like, the sound. I ended up writing Tiger yesterday because that, to me, you know, the moving day, and it was just so good. I wrote it as the sound of Tiger because, like I said, I've been here before. I covered all three of Mickelson's wins, and he's as popular a golfer as there is out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's still just different. And I wrote it yesterday. It's like he just conducts a soundtrack that is all his own, whether it's the sound of patrons fast walking across this course because there's no running allowed.
Right.
And that the stones crunching under their feet, you know, or whether it's the applause, it's the distant roars that golfers hears, like that mm-hmm. they hear, like Dustin Johnson's referring to. It's the up close roars that are not as loud for anybody. You know, there's a soundtrack all his own. And I'm glad to hear, I didn't hear that interview with Dustin Johnson, but that's, to me, that's somebody being sincere in their appreciation of what was happening today.
When they changed the scoreboard when he took the lead, the roar when they changed that manual scoreboard was yep. just awesome. I mean, that's the yep. kind of stuff I love watching, you know, because I'm obviously watching on a TV. You're watching live yep. and in person. Tara Sullivan from the Boston Globe with me, Kim Jones here on the Fan. Tara, when Tiger spoke today after winning, did he let you in? You in the media in at all to when he thought this was possible? Like, did he have a moment today where he kind of thought he was going to be able to clinch this thing?
I don't think he allowed for that. It's not the Tiger way. I honestly, it was that moment. I think he was a little annoyed the first putt didn't drop, right?
Okay,
like he was
right.
still the golfer. Like, he was still the golfer. Like, the new green, what the heck? It was a true putt.
Right.
I think really wasn't until it dropped that he allowed, you know, the exterior, whatever, the mask, the shield, to sort of drop. And even in asking him, like, what does your kid say to you? Like, he almost couldn't remember. He said, I was screaming too loud. They were screaming. Like, I think it really, he worked so hard to hold it all in. And in fairness to what was going on the leaderboard, you couldn't even allow, right, for a second to think, well, maybe I've got this. Because if you did, you might lose concentration and drop
True.
A stroke. And suddenly, it was just too much going on. Like, he kept talking about, as he said a few times, there were just so many scenarios
yep.
that could have played out across, you know, never mind the final, you know, the back nine, but even like right the last four or five holes with Brooks Koepka and with,
right.
you know, what Dustin Johnson was doing and Jason Day and Schauffele and then the guys he was with. But he had this great line where he said, I just kept reminding myself that I, and then he included, of course, his playing partners, Molinari and Finau, and he said, I had the most holes left to play. So even if somebody birdied, I thought, well, I'll just have to match it and birdie, and then I'm fine. So once he had that lead, and curiously, we should mention, for those who are probably aware or maybe not, but it is, in all of the great word comeback, right, which him coming back from injury and everything.
Right.
It's also the first time he's come back on a Sunday.
Which is remarkable.
To win a major.
Which is remarkable.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
It's amazing what he did today on so many levels. But
And I yeah. thought appropriate, Tara, that he would have to, you know, in the words of Jack Nicklaus II, earn it and mm-hmm. and come back to win to get back in the winner's column at a major. You know, it wasn't going to be the same formula that always worked for him before. I did think that
yeah.
was a fascinating part of today.
And in the long run, as he sort of digests this, might make it mean even more. Because,
yes.
Yeah, to have
oh,
to
I would think this,
that.
I would have to believe this could be his most meaningful major, unless he wants to go back to maybe to his first one. But I would have to believe this is on the short list of his most meaningful wins ever.
Oh, he said so.
Okay.
He already, like, somebody asked him if you had to rank it. It has to be right up there. I mean, I do think, you know, I get 97. Will it
true.
Ever not be the most
And important? His father was there. Yes, true.
Yeah, well, yeah. and just because of what he represented.
What it represented, yep.
In everything. I mean, there's just so much at play with Tiger that 97. And I often think with 97, the way the Masters responded, like, literally changing the course, right? Tiger-proofing the course. Like, to me, that is just unbelievable the way he changed the game. And then the ensuing way he changed the game with, you know, drawing in so much more money for every golfer and ratings and young golfers and weight training, you know, all the impact he had to 97. But in terms of sort of just the human element, I feel like today is has to be right up there.
Tara, what did he say about what this now does for him in his game? I mean, do you think he now does think that major's record is in reach? I mean, does he think this is now the start of almost a second chapter? Or does he think this was somehow some wonderful punctuation almost? I mean, I can't imagine he went there.
No, yeah. He actually really deferred on the question of whether, you know, the 18, the record is still in reach.
Okay.
You know, he kind of just deferred it until he had time to think about it. I mean, my impression of Tiger, there's no chance this is a period. I mean, this guy could win more green jackets alone, never mind, you know, and then more majors, you would think, right? Because, I mean, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, the PGA is next in only 3 weeks, and that's out at Bethpage, I believe, in Long Island, and he's won there before as well. So,
wow.
And he talked a lot about the end of last year, right, when he probably pushed himself a little too hard, and we saw that at the Ryder Cup,
right.
He was exhausted, but
yes.
The stretch of the British contending at both the British Open and the PGA and then winning the Tour Championship at the end, he's talked a lot about those, not only today but all week, in terms of the major mindset being back in contention on a Sunday and then the closing mindset, the ability to close as he did in the Tour Championship, how important that was. And it sort of all came together today. So there's no reason for me to think that he doesn't anticipate that continuing now. I mean, he feels so much better physically. He's gotten to a place where he knows how to manage his body in a better way. He admitted he's going to reduce the amount he plays, you know, to just gear up for the majors more
right.
So. So, you know, I don't see it as a punctuation. It's a great way to phrase the question. But I think Tiger wants to keep on writing this story for a while.
Tara Sullivan from the Boston Globe here with me, Kim Jones, on the fan. She's in Augusta. Tara, when Tiger talked about today, because they moved it up with the weather and everything else, and whether that was a wise choice or not, you'd know better than I don't know the weather there at the moment, but it did make for an exciting morning and early afternoon, I will say that.
Breakfast at Augusta.
Exactly. Tiger did say something along the lines of having to get up at 3:45 or 4 this morning to get his body ready. So, you know, that's another one of those challenges. I'm not looking for a pity party for him, but there is that extra element that he needs to take care of just to go play golf at this point.
Right, and that's not only because of his age or whatever, right? Jason Day told very similar stories the other day in a bad back. Yes, I mean, they, like you said, nobody's looking for a pity party. They're among the best athletes in the world, but they don't roll out of bed and hop out and drop birdies in the cup. I mean, these guys have to work their tails off to get to this place, and Tiger has to do that more than ever. And I think it was listen, the guy's a notorious insomniac anyway, so Lord knows if he would have slept much past 4 anyway.
Right.
He probably got up and started moving around. And I wondered myself, I didn't get to ask him this, but maybe it was better not to have all day to think about it, right? Like,
true.
Just get right back to work today. I don't know. I'd be curious if down the line that, you know, that does come up, that it was a little different today. The setup was a little different. And for Tiger, if nothing else, he knows how things work at Augusta, you know? So
true.
None of that would sort of knock him off his routine, other than, say, just being earlier. But yeah, it's, you know, it doesn't happen. There's no magic wand here. Like, that, it's a lot he has to go through just to be able to golf. I mean, it is one of the most compelling things I have ever seen.
Yeah, where do you think it fits? I mean, from my childhood, and I think I would guess you're in this group. I mean, Miracle on Ice is obviously something, and I'm not a hockey person, but
right,
but it doesn't matter that I'm not a hockey person because that stands out so much. And then there are some other things that make more sense because of the teams I rooted for and that kind of thing. But I mean, this one's going to be remembered forever, and in very select company in terms of remarkable sporting event achievements we've ever seen.
I agree. I mean, comebacks as a team and underdogs, like, there are different categories, right, of where we sort of look at these remarkable
right.
sports events. But for overcoming adversity, and whether there are people out there who want to hate on Tiger because some of that adversity was self-imposed,
yep.
I don't think it matters,
right.
personally. Like, I don't think it matters. The fact is, he did go through it, you know, and it has been 14 years since he won the Masters, and it has been 11 years since he won a major, and he is the guy who said, I want to break that record, and he did put all that pressure on himself, and somehow from a man who couldn't get off his own couch, like, he's not lying. When he walked into Augusta this time last year, he said it was a miracle that he was playing golf, and he wasn't exaggerating.
Mm.
You know, so to be here right. a year later with him as the winner, I personally can't think of something that is in terms, you know, is bigger than that. I mean, I think Nicklaus winning in 86 is probably up there.
Yes, agreed.
But I can't.
But that has stood alone in golf for an awfully long time, at least,
yeah.
you know, in my experience. And I remember watching that with my dad back then. So.
Yep.
That now has some company, I think, at this level. And I think Jack Nicklaus would probably agree with that.
Happily share it.
Yeah.
No, I do think so as well, because the Masters is a unique event. You know, it always comes back here. It's this, you know, it starts out the major season. Tiger had already sort of made his mark on this place. And to do what he did today, it just, it cements him certainly here. Listen, Jack still has more, right? He has 6 green jackets. Tiger's. It was nice when they introduced him in the post-match mm-hmm. media room. You know, the members of Augusta, some of them are on this media committee, and they do the job of sort of moderating the press conference. And mm-hmm. The guy who did it today, you know, said congrats, and then he said, or maybe I should say welcome back. Mm. And then he said, or even better, welcome home. And I think that,
that's nice.
You know, to think of the Masters embracing Tiger in that
yes.
way and doing it after something like this, when it wasn't that long ago that they were lecturing him in that room, right?
Right.
I mean, I don't know if people thought about that, but, you know, this has not been always all hearts and flowers, you know?
Right.
I have a hard time. I'm putting myself on the spot, but I have a hard time thinking of something that rivals it in terms of, like, pure athletic achievement in the face of coming back from
right.
something.
Right. The redemption level of this story yeah. is in my mind, almost unmatched. You know, there might be matches out there, but it's hard
so
for me
big.
To think of them. Yep.
It's so big. I mean, I covered the World Series, right, when the Red Sox won, and I
right.
thought, oh, David Price pitching the Red Sox to a World Series was a good redemption story. Like, that's nothing on this. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, this is just to such a degree, it's just so much deeper. It goes back so much further, and the challenges were just so much greater, I think.
We saw his playing partner, Molinari. I mean, the poor guy, you know, ends up double bogeying. You know, he's kind of
and he was
brilliant. I mean, he was the one guy who could putt all day, I thought. I mean,
yep.
he was brilliant, and I thought he's going to end up winning this, and it's going to be a nice story for Tiger. Well, he ends up falling apart. I'm wondering, do you think at any level with all of these other golfers, because it was a ridiculous leaderboard, it was a great leaderboard. Everyone you wanted there almost. Obviously, Spieth wasn't and Mickelson wasn't at the end. But a lot of guys were there, and it was great. But do you think there was ever a Tiger effect for those either playing with him or on the course with him who knew what he was, you know, capable of doing and what he seemed to be doing?
It's such a compelling question. And in sort of a metaphorical sense, I think there absolutely is a Tiger effect. I mean, I think that has always existed. Now, in the nitty-gritty of today, when Molinari went up to 12 and, you know, figured, oh, I can be aggressive and go for the pin, is that because Tiger's there, or is that just because he doesn't know any better, you
right.
know, that on this course? I'm not sure I can answer that. Clearly, you know, Tiger did know better, and that was another thing that Jack Jr., it was hilarious. Like, he said, I just told my daughters, my dad always said, just lay it up and go for the sit, you know, like exactly what Tiger just did, and I just got such a kick out of that.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the Tiger effect, I don't think Tiger won today because other guys were intimidated. I'll say that. I think Tiger won today because he played better than
okay.
anybody else down the stretch. And I think that's almost a stranger thing for, say, the likes of Brooks Koepka or Dustin Johnson to have to swallow, that this guy is better than we are. He's just better at it. He was better than we were today. And I think that's, you know, when they're charging up leaderboard themselves and Tiger just does them one better, I think that that's almost scarier
right.
heading into the future. We didn't lose him because we got scared. Like, he just outplayed
him. And he came on to do it.
Yeah.
Because, like,
yeah.
you know, he didn't putt great. I mean, I don't know if he talked about that, but his short game wasn't great. It was good enough when it mattered, but
yeah, it was good enough today, certainly better. And there were times it disappeared, but he was so true off the tee early on. And he did, you know, sometimes the best answer, if you can't make the short ones, he made a couple of dramatic long ones
over
the weekend, obviously
that
saved him enough strokes. But yeah, I mean, if he has something to work on, certainly coming out of the Masters, I would think it's his putting.
Just a couple other things before I let you go, Tara, and I appreciate, you know, this much time,
because yeah.
there's a lot to get to on this. I mean, you could actually do, you know, I'm on till 9. You could conceivably do
please.
The rest of it on
trying
this.
Trying to pick one column? Yeah, it wasn't
exactly.
easy. There was like 18 different stories.
Exactly.
Out of that today.
Exactly. I'm curious how you've just found Tiger. Like, if you... You know, whether you compare or contrast, you know, a younger Tiger, a healthier Tiger back in the day, but like just at his post-match press, however many questions he answered, what was his demeanor like?
Well, I think Tiger, so last year, from last year to now, I've covered 4 golf tournaments, right? So from last year's Masters, and then I did last year's U.S. Open, I did the TPC at the end of the year, which was in outside the Boston limits and then back at the Masters this year. And what I saw in Tiger that I hadn't seen before is a different guy on the course. So start there. Like, he's laughing more with the guys he's walking with. He's go back to last year's Masters when he played a practice round with Phil Mickelson, right? And they used to never even, you know, breathe the same air, never mind become friends, you know?
Right.
And I see him, you know, I just noticed, and I think a lot of people noticed, he just seemed to be in the moment a little bit more, taking it all in a little bit more and, you know, using that perspective that is naturally gained by time, by adversity, whatever. So when we talk to him this year, absolutely, I think he's more open. He's more revealing. He's not, he's never going to be like an emotional, this means the world to me. You know, he's not going to go, not that I've seen anyway. And if he wasn't going to do that today, I don't know when he would.
Agreed.
But he peeled, you know, Tiger was notoriously private, standoffish, like, you know what I'm talking about, like glaring at people and that kind of thing, both on the course, and that bled into the coverage off it.
Agreed.
I think he's different. I certainly think he's different. And whether it's just, like we said, time and perspective, or, you know, what is it they say, that career dissipation light, you know, flickering in the distance. I mean, he had a line yesterday about being in the 43 club, you know, and having shots to win. And he goes, well, I know I don't have as many chances at 43 as I had at 23. Mm-hmm. I mean, he does seem very, you know, much more acutely aware of what time is left. And it's made him a little bit more relaxed, and, you know, I would quite honestly just say he seems to be enjoying it more.
I might be absolutely nuts with this observation, which wouldn't be for the first time. I don't remember Tiger chewing gum during his rounds before this freaking tournament.
You are so not nuts.
Have I lost it, or am I onto something? I mean, he chewed gum.
It's so funny you bring it up, because Karen Kraus, who is a full-time golf writer for the New York Times, actually did write a story about this. So
she did? Oh, my God.
She did a couple months back, because Phil was doing it as like a performance enhancer, in the sense that it was helping him stay focused, and Tiger seems to pick up the habit. So he actually was asked about it today, and he said it helps curb his appetite because he's always hungry.
That's hilarious.
The sugar that comes from the gum or whatever. But no, you're 100% right. I noticed it too, when you see him concentrating and suddenly you see the jaw.
Yeah. All that was missing was him starting to blow bubbles. And, you know.
That would have just been so perfect.
That would have been great.
Suddenly he's in a baseball dugout. You know, he needs this.
Exactly. The sunflower seeds and bubble gum. Exactly. Tara, last one, unless you jog my memory in your answer. Tara Sullivan from the Boston Globe here with me, Kim Jones. We are going to get back to your calls shortly here on The Fan. Tara, I'm wondering, because I love redemption, I love second, if not third, chances. I love to see someone do what we don't think they can do, period, or do anymore. And we saw all of that today. What does it say about us that's how many of us reacted, and certainly how the Masters galleries reacted the whole tournament, but especially today to Tiger Woods?
I mean, I think it says that the theme you just brought up is universal in the sports world. I mean, there is no better story, really. And I think sports is at its best, and I've written this, when it mirrors the emotions that we feel, that we share, that we all share. And when we are disappointed, and when we feel disappointment, but then we have the opportunity to take those same disappointments and lift somebody up, or see them lifted, or see them lift themselves up. I just think it's a universal feeling that we can all relate to, who hasn't screwed up somewhere, you know, yearned for a second chance, tried their best with that second chance. Or I just, to me, that's why I've stayed in the sports field. It's why I love it. And it was never more apparent or emotional than it was today. I mean, if you can't feel good for a person, you know, even if you didn't like the person, whatever, if you can't feel that empathy and that sense of what they must be feeling to have come back from something, you know, I think you're probably not a sports fan anyway. So I'm with you, Kim. Like, there's almost no better angle in sports. I know the underdog story is one we all love too, but I think the redemption arc is the most compelling of them all. And today was the best I've ever seen.
Yep, absolutely. And listen, Tiger to a degree, became a bit of an underdog. As much as he ever can be, he has been. Maybe not anymore. Maybe he's out of that now. But he's
already the odds-on favorite to win the PGA.
There you go. No more underdog stuff. Tara, you're absolutely terrific. You know that. I look forward to reading your column, bostonglobe.com. Tara Sullivan, Jersey girl. They all know you from Jersey, Tara, but we all know you're now at the Boston Globe. We miss you, and we thank you so much. This is terrific. I love the insight,
right,
and I thank
you. Right back at you. Yes, this was great at any time. Say hi to everybody for me.
I will. Thank you, Tara, and safe travels. Tara Sullivan from Augusta.